Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started. Welcome, welcome everybody. It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. This is, of course, your host, Ryan Winder. I've got a great show and an amazing guest for you today. But before we get to her, just wanted to check in. Hopefully everybody's doing okay. And hopefully you enjoyed the last episode with Dr. Rob Kelly and his insights about trauma and addiction and combating negative beliefs. I just thought that that was a great episode. He brought a lot of insight and information to the table. So again, hopefully everybody's doing well. If you are new to the show, you can follow me on Instagram at The Vegas Therapist. Also, I do have a Facebook podcast group, Ryan Winder, The Vegas Therapist podcast group on Facebook. Go ahead and join that to get updates and from the show, as well as quotes and different things like that that I post on there. You can also ask questions on the Facebook page or make any suggestions for topic ideas. Also, you can email me at thevegastherapist@gmail.com if you have any questions or things that, again, you want shared on the podcast. Also, too, you can always connect with me as well if you want any coaching or therapy. If you are in the Vegas or Idaho area where I'm licensed, we can actually do just specific therapy, but otherwise outside of that, it would be a coaching call. So contact me if you're up for something like that as well. So again, got a great show for you today. My guest is Janice Loveridge, who is the creator of Inspiring Intimacy Games stuff. And her goal, which I will talk about later as well, is to help married couples reconnect, unite, and have fun. So we're going to be talking about improving our intimacy and connection with our spouse or loved one. So that is going to be great. It's going to be a great show. It's kind of like as we head towards the new year, I'm thinking about different topics that we can do or that I can do that can help build us towards improvement in the new year. Which is always something that we're focused on and trying to set goals and do different things. And what a better way to start out and kind of heading towards the new year than thinking about our relationship and making our relationship a priority. And I think when we talk about intimacy, something that is so important is that that we don't let intimacy and sex become the last item on a very long to-do list. It's something that we need to prioritize and make more important. And Janice is going to talk to us about that and ways that we can build that connection in our relationship. And she's got some great games and some great things that you can get and purchase that are not expensive, but are definitely worth the money to spend and invest into our relationship. So we're going to welcome her on and get to the show. All right. Well, at this time, I'd like to welcome in my guest, Janice Loveridge, who is the founder, I guess, of Inspiring Intimacy Game Stuff, and which is designed to help married couples reconnect, unite, and really have fun, right? In regards to intimacy, right?
Absolutely, Ryan. And thank you so much for having me on your show. I am passionate about what I am doing. I'm working with a group of four women, and we have gotten together and decided to help marriages. I have a story of being married to a husband for 28 years that almost 29 on the 21st of this month.
Awesome.
Yes. And that's quite an accomplishment in our world. We have four kids and totally fell in love with him. And I wanted to make it work. And he got into medical school. And I remember that they called all the spouses in when he was in medical school. And they said, we just want to tell you what the divorce rate is. And I can't quote it right now, but I remember it was shocking. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my goodness, you know, this medical school thing, it's going to be hard. And then they went on to say, and if you think this is going to be hard, wait until you see what the divorce rates are in residency, depending on what your husband or wife chooses to specialize in. And so right then and there, I thought, okay, I have to make a choice. I have to support my spouse the best I can And I think I need to make sure that I'm doing everything I can do on my side of things to make our relationship just stay positive and happy. And I think it starts with me being positive and happy about his career choice, me supporting him. And so I just made some decisions and did some things that really benefited our relationship. And I'm not going to say that they were huge things, Ryan. They were just little things every week, or, you know, just simple little things to let him know that I loved him that made the biggest difference in the world. And later he has told me, you know, that time in our life, I have felt, you know, love through our entire marriage. But during that time, I felt so much support and love from you. And I really appreciated that. And it was just those little things that I did. And so we actually put together a group of cards. They're called 52 Weeks of I Love You. And all they are simple things that you can do every week to let your spouse know that you love them. I'd like to share a couple of them with you if I could.
That'd be great. Yeah.
So one of the things I did for my husband while he was in residency is he would come home late at night and, you know, always have to relieve his bladder or whatever. And so I would put a note on the inside of the toilet this one time that said, I love you. So when he lifted it up and it was 1 a.m. he was coming home, he knew I was thinking of him. I have done little things like take cereal and write with Cheerios, I love you, on the counter with a little note that lets him know he's amazing. So nothing that takes a ton of time, but I think it's little things in life that really add up that make the biggest difference.
I would agree. I think earlier today I was kind of like looking at some stuff, and I know we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we kind of get into it, as far as like, you know, these are definitely ways to connect, build your marriage, you know, and also too, I know we're going to talk a little bit more about intimacy and creating like intimacy and sex and that, you know, those kinds of things as well too. But I was reading, going through a book called 8 Dates, and it's by John Gottman. And he talked about what marriage is, kind of our, some research that was found that marriages that have good intimacy and a strong intimate connection, some of the things they do. And again, they really aren't like the big thing, like they're not the big things that you talk, that people kind of a lot of times think about. It's saying, I love you every day. It's complimenting your partner. It's getting kind of surprise romantic gifts. It's giving one another back rubs. It's kissing one another passionately for no reason, showing affection in public, cuddling with one another, you know, and things of that nature. That, like I said, aren't necessarily big things, but they go a long ways in conveying this sense of love to one another, which then obviously, you know, does open us up for more intimacy and more connection. So yeah, I definitely think those are all good things.
Oh, absolutely. And I really do think that sometimes we think of intimacy as the sexual act itself. And I think that what you said was key. I think it's a bunch of things leading into it. I think it's the whole package. I don't think it's just the sexual act itself. I don't think it's just, a hug a day or whatever. I think it's the whole package, like what you said. And it's being cognitive in your marriage of what your marriage needs. And I think it's compliments. I think it's positive affirmations. I think it's all of those things in one little package. And learning what your marriage needs is key. It is so important. But in order to do this, Ryan, I think you have to make your marriage a priority, and I think you have to want it. Right. And if you think, and I hate to say this and discourage somebody that's getting married, but so many times I think we have this movie type, you know, the happily ever afters, we're going to go through a hard time. And then it just how it happens in the movies, and there's nothing bad that ever happens ever. Mm-hmm. And that isn't reality. You know, we have to keep working at our marriages. If you've been married 30 years, 50 years, you know this. It just happens, and it's just bliss. We have to work at it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing is too, is that, you know, I read a book a long time ago called The Truth About Love. And one of the things it talks about in there is just like the author kind of self admits that she got divorced at an early age in her, you know, in her marriage. And I think a lot of it was because she felt like she fell out of love. And I think there's a difference between, like, again, falling out of love and just maybe being in a different stage of love, where love kind of has its ebbs and flows. And obviously we've got to do things, like you said, to kind of make our marriage a priority and to do things that are going to help us to kind of keep that connection and that intimacy going. But it doesn't mean that there's not going to be, like you said, those ebbs and flows and times when maybe we don't have that romantic or that, you know, ideal kind of image, like in movies and stuff, thing going on, but we can still do things that make us feel close or make us feel connected. And so the idea of falling out of love is, you know, sometimes it gets a little bit too much play when maybe, again, just the stage of love that we're in, it just feels different, or it looks different, or it's not the same as, you know, obviously the first part of love, where we're like, everything's just about one another and things of that nature. Although I think, again, couples that have a good, strong relationship and build a strong sense of intimacy find ways to make each other a priority throughout their marriage, you know, regardless. So,
absolutely.
I'm curious about one thing. I mean, I know, like I said, that I actually, you know, for people that don't just listen to it on the podcast, but maybe we'll see this on YouTube, I did get a sample of some of your stuff. So, so I think one of the things that I wanted to ask though too is that, obviously you want to help married couples, you want to help them connect and unite, but I'm just curious, what did you see, if you're comfortable talking about this, what did you see maybe from the people around you or people that you came into contact with? Like, what were some of the struggles that you saw people having, whether it just be in connecting or even on the bigger picture, intimacy kind of type stuff? Like, what was some of the things that you kind of saw in that?
Oh, absolutely. So really, one of the reasons why I started this company is I have one friend who is, she has an amazing marriage, but she came to me and she said, can you help me? It's my anniversary. And she is probably one of the most creative people I've ever met. Beautiful individual. And I said, absolutely. And so I would give her all these ideas and I would say, you know, why aren't you, you know, thinking of these on your own? And she's like, you know, I'm scared of the internet. Every time I get on there, I see things I don't want to see. It takes me to places that I don't feel comfortable with. You know, I just wish there was somewhere clean that you could get ideas. And so when I started this, she's probably my greatest supporter. The other thing I saw is I have another friend and she really struggles in this area. She struggles from kind of a good girl syndrome. She said, you know, all my life sex was so bad, bad, bad. And then you get married and all of a sudden it's good. And she's like, I struggle with this area. And so this is one of the reasons I developed a game. And it was interesting that the feedback I got from her was, it made me feel so comfortable because I like when there's communication before, you know, we actually do it and I can feel love. And I think that's one thing that sometimes, no offense, Ryan, if I offend you, but sometimes I think guys are like, hey, let's just do it right now. Mm-hmm. And for women, sometimes there's that emotional support and that talk that we want. We want to feel, that's how we feel connected. And I think a lot of times men feel connected through the physical, you know, intimacy itself. And so it's kind of a nice in a marriage, you have to learn that balancing act between what each partner needs.
Right.
And not just the wants.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. And I don't take offense to that. It is sometimes things are just what they are. So,
okay, good. Thanks, Ryan. Hey, but I would like to ask you some questions. I thought your podcast, you did a couple of podcasts on Let's Talk About Sex.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to those and I was actually so motivated. I right now would tell anybody that is struggling in this area, go listen to those podcasts. Very good. You said a lot of things, you brought out a lot of points that I would like to talk to you about again, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure.
You talked about rewiring our brains. Mm-hmm. And I think when I'm talking about my friends who are struggling in this area and their views of sex, that's the first thing that I thought of when you said that. Now, I would like to know, how is the easiest way and fastest way? If there's somebody that is really wanting to help their marriage, how do you rewire your brain quickly?
Well, I think the first thing about that is just like, you have to try to figure out what that negative, like a lot of times it's about figuring out what that negative belief is. It's kind of blocking me from doing that. Right. So it's usually tied to some, like you were saying, like the good girl thing and whatever. So there's something that it's tied to oftentimes. So I can't talk about sex because that's dirty or that's bad or that's whatever. So I think what you have to sort of feed that with in terms of the rewiring is like, okay, if I think of it as bad and dirty, then that's what it will be. But if I can think about it as good and healthy and a great part of marriage, then that's what I can start to see it as. But until I make that shift and make that conscious effort, then my brain is always going to have that belief that it's bad or it's dirty or it's whatever, it's, you know, it's sinful or whatever the, you know, whatever the notions are. So I think first you have to identify what my negative block is towards it or what my belief about sex is, and then be able to then kind of just go the opposite direction, which is like, no, okay, this is healthy. This is good. This is, you know, enjoyable. This is something to be shared, whatever, you know, whatever that goes to. One of the things I wanted to mention, I think I mentioned in that podcast too, is that, I mean, sometimes it also just starts with the communication part and talking more openly about sex. And research shows couples who can talk openly about sex actually have more sex. And also the research indicates with that too, that women who have more, who talk openly about sex with their husbands have more orgasms. So it's kind of like a win-win for couples. If we're able to talk about it and be open about it, then that brings it more into the forefront. And we're able to, whether it's talk about our needs or talk about what we like or talk about things that we want more of, like when you're mentioned, hey, I'd like to talk more before sex. Well, we're not going to know those things unless we don't talk about them, right?
Right. And, oh, absolutely.
And so I think that's another part of it, is that not only do we have to identify, again, like I said, that negative belief, but we also have to then start communicating about it. Because I think a lot of people in these situations too, we grew up in an era where our parents didn't necessarily talk about sex. They weren't open about it with us. And so a lot of times we just kind of assume that same model of like, well, this is just something you don't talk about. But it is something to talk about, and it's something that's important. Absolutely. To talk about. And so I think just changing some of those things, again, identifying that negative belief, but then changing the way that we approach it by, like I said, doing simple things like, hey, let's have a conversation about this. Yes, it might be uncomfortable at first, but eventually it'll become more comfortable. And my brain will start to see it as something that's okay to talk about. But it's not going to see it that way if I'm just mute and just kind of keep it locked in, right? So,
oh, absolutely.
Hopefully that answered what you were saying. But
yeah, and I have another suggestion that I would love to get your feedback on. And that would be, if you are having a trouble with your partner and in this area, repeating a mantra and coming as a couple and saying, you know, let's do a mantra. Or positive affirmation or whatever you want to call it for a month, and develop that together and say it, you know, I love my husband. This is a way I express it. Or I love my wife. This is a way I can express it to her. What's your take on that as a therapist?
Yeah. I mean, I think again, that's, I guess in a more specific way, that's kind of like also too, what I would think would be kind of battling that negative belief. Right. So developing a mantra that you can say repeatedly to, you know, together or even on your own, but just something that kind of reinforces that positive feeling about this thing, right? This thing, which now we're referring to as sex, we want to have a positive connection to it. So by using an affirmation to do that, it's going to build that positive connection towards it. So I think that's a great idea.
Okay. And then I have another thing that I did tell a friend. Mm-hmm. She told me she's been married for, I have no idea, probably 35 years, I guess. And she's like, you know, it's just so boring. And here's my take on that, Ryan. If you had the same breakfast every day for 30 years, wouldn't you hate breakfast? I mean, I think that it's okay in our relationships to try different things, to experiment, to try to enjoy intimacy in different ways and make it better. It takes effort and it takes work on our part in order to do that as a couple. And sometimes it's hard for people to step out of that. Oh my goodness. What would your suggestion be for that?
Well, I think my suggestion would be that, I mean, obviously, you know, I think even just looking at some of your games, I mean, just kind of trying to do something that maybe even I mean, I guess sometimes people are fearful because they think, okay, what does that look like to me if I experiment or if I, you know, try something new? Like, am I going to be, you know, on 50 Shades of Grey? Is that what I'm looking at or whatever?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, so then maybe they get fearful and maybe that feels like too outside their comfort zone. So I think it's just for some people who are having a struggle, it's just like, try to just inch your way out of that discomfort, because that's really what it's about, right? It's like, I'm not in a place like, yes, I may be bored. Yes, maybe it's kind of the same old thing, but I'm also maybe not willing to venture out. And I think that that venturing out requires us to be in a place of discomfort. Now, I'm not saying, like I said, you have to go into this, you know, just jump into the, you know, whatever abyss and just kind of do whatever, but we have to find things that kind of create a little bit of discomfort. And so even if that's ordering your products and doing something different, or if it's buying a sex book or whatever it is, and just finding something that can, we can do to, you know, get outside that comfort zone. I think that's the biggest thing. And like I said, I mean, if you try something and it feels too uncomfortable, okay, let me back that up. But you got to be kind of trying to push yourself. Otherwise, you know, it's just, it's not, you know, you're not going to change. Let me just, I've actually got some other notes here. Let me just look at something I was thinking about. I'm actually starting to create so this is for my listeners too, like a 21 day challenge for relationships and for improving your marriage. And so they've got different aspects on it too. But one of the things I found that's important, you know, as far as our intimacy and connection, is to be experimental. And what I have in relation to that is that it may not be a good idea to force yourself to do anything that maybe repels you, but at the same time, you know, you may need to push yourself to be experimental, especially, you know, and I think a lot of times when we're in these, in a long-term relationships, we need to trust that our partner is there for us. They care about us, you know, we care about them. And so being experimental is not a bad thing. But I can't tell you what you should or shouldn't be comfortable with. You have to be able to figure that out on your own. But I think the other part of that, though, too, is that you have to allow yourself a sense of curiosity. And I think that part also maybe has to do with sometimes our beliefs, is like, it's okay to be curious. It's okay to wonder about things, to wonder about things in a sexual way, like, hey, what would this be like? Or what would that feel like? Or what would, you know, if we did that, you know? But I think some people shut that down really quick because it's like, oh, that might be bad. But it's like, no, if I'm directing that curiosity towards my spouse and towards my partner, then that's a good thing, right? Because they're going to enjoy the benefit of that. That's going to be something that we do together. It's not bad to be curious and to think about those things. So I think just, you know, thinking about it from that perspective, trying to be experimental. Again, it doesn't mean, you know, you're stuck doing something permanent. If you don't like it, just move on and try something else. Yeah.
So my game that I know that you have there, Inspiring Intimacy and Happily Ever After card game. I actually had a friend that, she's very kind of shy. And I was so surprised that she told me that her and her husband played this, and I was shocked. And she was like, you know, we've never done anything like this before. And her comment to me was, we have laughed and talked about that for days. And she said it was something so that we've never done. And yet it became an enjoyable activity that continued for days on. And I think that sometimes we are missing opportunities in our relationship when we don't try those things.
Right. Right. Yeah. And no, I agree. I don't know if you had anything else. But yeah, I definitely think that that's something too. It's like, and even kind of maybe along with this, maybe it's a little bit different, but another thing I came across today and kind of prepping for, you know, our conversation was that, and again, I like to kind of go to the research. It's not just always about what I think, even though I see it in my practice, but research also shows that men want to pleasure their partner, but they also sometimes want, or they want to be guided in that. You know what I mean? It's not just about, you know, like them all the time. They want to kind of know how to please their partner, but they may need some guidance. And so I think even like with something like that too, it's like, give us some structure, help us to kind of figure out a way to, you know, maybe whether it's have conversations around intimacy or have conversations or have games and different things like that, that kind of help us explore or be curious or do different things. I think that helps guys, even though we may not want to admit it, it helps us to kind of open that door to have a better understanding of our partner, rather than just sitting back and being maybe ashamed that, you know, that maybe we're not as confident in certain things as we want. So I think these, the games that you've created also help the guys kind of get engaged and be involved, and give us some sense of guidance in terms of maybe how we can better please our partner, which is something that we want. We don't just want it to be about us. We do want our partner to have pleasure as well. So anyway, I don't know if that,
you know, we've talked a little bit about, you know, talking about intimacy with our partner, but I also think that after intimacy, it's okay to give feedback in a very positive way. So like what you're saying, so that we can express to our partner, oh, I really like that. Or that wasn't as comfortable as I thought it would be. Or, you know, I really would like to try this sometime, or whatever we could do. I think that's key, to give each other feedback. And that is what is going to make those bonds so strong. And I think that this is what a lot of married couples are lacking. I read a statistic that said the number one reason that people are getting divorced now is because of intimacy issues. And that's kind of scary, you know, when you think about it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, definitely it is scary. And I think there's probably a lot of reasons for that. I think one is, you know, like we've been talking about, just a lack of communication around it. I think the other thing can be two unrealistic expectations that created by, maybe this is on a guy's end where it's like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, bad stuff out there, pornography and different things that create this image of like what sex is. Absolutely. And so that I think definitely plays a role too, to where, you know, we're expecting maybe something that isn't real to be real. And when it's not that way, then we're disappointed or let down, or, you know, so yeah. So, I mean, but again, being able to have the communication part and being able to talk about those expectations or talk about what we're looking for, or have more, you know, open conversations with one another. I mean, I think that that's the thing that's going to really, you know, counter a lot of that stuff. I mean, besides trying to filter out the bad and like focus on the good things about intimacy and that connection, which are important as well. So, yeah.
And I would love to know from a man's perspective, Ryan, how do you get across to men that women need that emotional connection in order to give that physical? And that's sometimes really hard for them to understand.
That's a good question. I mean, I think that what you said, the last part is like, that's really difficult for them to understand, is it's really difficult for me to convey that to them too.
Okay.
So,
okay.
So I don't know if I've found the magic formula for that, other than just like, I mean, I think the biggest thing is like, you just, it's almost like kind of when I was talking about being experimental before too, it's kind of like presenting it in the same way. It's like, well, just experiment with it, try it, see what the outcome is. I mean, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that if you try to be more, you know, if you try to take care of that emotional connection, that good things will happen, right? So it's almost just like, hey, just don't take my word for it. Don't just, you know, or don't just, you know, even take her, you know, she might be telling you, say, hey, I need that emotional connection, blah, blah, blah. You know, I think sometimes you hear it, oh, I need that emotional connection, and it kind of, it sounds like blah, 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 but it's like, it's obviously important. They're asking for it. And if you would just take the time to kind of try it and see what happens, like I said, I think most people would be pleasantly surprised. So I think it's just a matter of putting the time in and putting the effort in. And even like kind of what I'd said before about, you know, couples who can talk more openly about sex. And I know it's going back to sex and not necessarily just the emotional part, but just talking openly is still an emotional connection, right? So whether we're talking about sex or whether we're talking about other things, when we share a part of ourselves with our partner, that is an emotional connection, right? And I think that's why that research says that, is that when we talk more openly about sex and about our lives, about things we like, things we don't like, things, whatever, that's what it's about. We're sharing a part of ourselves with our partner in a way that makes them see us more vulnerable and more open. And so they like that. And that's helpful for them. So therefore they're more connected to us. So therefore intimacy is more likely to be a part of that. So I mean, it definitely is, you know, to me, it's a no-brainer, but at the same time, like I said, it's a struggle for a lot of guys to get
big
that.
Struggle.
Yeah.
Big struggle. And it's a struggle for a lot of women. I have a friend who just recently told me about a huge fight she had with her husband. And that night he was expecting. Mm-hmm. And she said, we just had a fight. And he looked at her and he's like, but I said I was sorry. And there you go. That's how right. it is.
Right.
And
right.
and you know, for women, it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
And I have a product out there right now called the 12 Days of Flirty Foreplay. Mm-hmm. And I actually developed this for guys, but I have more women, you know, doing the 12 days for their husbands. But the whole idea is to flirt with them. And I think that that's huge. I think women like to be flirted with. They like to feel attracted. They like to know that they are important in their lives. And I think that, again, it goes back, if more guys would do just the little things, giving them a compliment every day, going up and rubbing their back and telling them, I just think you're amazing, thanking them for putting their socks away, that would benefit them so much more in this area than but it's frustrating to me sometimes mm-hmm. that they just don't get it.
Yeah. No, right. And I think the other thing is too, is like, I think part of that is like I was saying, even about like trusting in that process of like the emotional stuff, that's like trusting that those little things do really matter. And I think, you know, as guys, we're like the, you know, there's a book that I have men read a lot and it's called The Knight in Rusty Armor. And I think as guys, we're programmed to this mindset, like we've got to do these brave acts or these big things that kind of like, you know, woo our women over, right? You know, and yes. That's going to be the thing that wants them to, you know, have sex with us or whatever it is, right? And I think that shifting that mindset to no, it's really about these little things. It's about being in the details of life and showing up and being, you know, like I said, saying I love you or thank you for folding my socks or I'm, you know, this really yeah. is important, whatever it might be. That's how we quote unquote now, like from the knight analogy, slay the dragon. I mean, that's really what is more important rather than going out and, like I said, making these big grand gestures of whatever. You know, our spouses really don't care about that. They want us, you know, in those little things, and that's where it matters most to them. So I think that's, like I said, it's a shift that some guys have to really make. And, you know, sometimes we're stubborn and we don't really make those shifts very easily, but.
Oh yeah. I understand yeah. that one. Right. But I love that analogy, Ryan. That is a great analogy.
Well, thank you. So any other things that you're kind of like when you, you know, as far as, I mean, I think we've kind of got the notion of like what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish. I mean, is there other things that you've kind of came across or just things that you're working on that you think would be helpful for the listeners as far as?
Yes. Yeah. I've got a couple of things that we're working on as I've gotten into this and I've started talking to women. I'm like, what do you need in your relationship? One of the number one things that I've come across is the negativity in relationships. And I am married to the most positive man on the planet. And so honestly, Ryan, this isn't something that I have come across a lot because I'm a positive person and I married a positive person. And, you know, life never gets us down. And so we as a team got together and we have developed a year's worth of put the positivity back in your marriage. And it's going to be a downloadable and we're trying to make it really inexpensive for people. But what we're wanting to do is do a monthly activity as a couple and you learn to be positive with one another. One of the month's activities is to not find fault. And that would be really hard for a lot of people. But I think when we find fault and when we allow our brain to go there with our partner and we start, you know, dishing on them in our mind, it can be a powerful thing and it kind of builds upon one another. Another thing that we have, you know, to combat that is we have an activity and I'm so excited about this one. I'm going to do this with my husband just because I think it sounds fun. It is where you trade list, you write down everything that your husband says that you love. He writes down everything that you say about him that he loves. You trade list and all month long, every time you say something off the list, you put a dollar in a jar. And at the end of the month, you go out on a date with that money. It's anything to help activities for couples put back in that positivity. Mm-hmm. I think that we live in such a hard world that sometimes it's very easy to get critical.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think, well, and even again, I like to refer to different literature that's out there too. There's a book called The Happiness, or How to Solve for Happy. That's the name of the book. And one of the things that he brings up in that book is too, is like our brains are also wired for negativity. And a lot of times we don't necessarily think that. I mean, and there is always the exception to the rule, positive people, like you mentioned your husband that's positive. But ultimately, our brains are wired for negativity. So it's easy to make that the norm. You know, even the research says, like, you know, we remember negative events more readily. We remember negative memories more so. And so the idea of doing an activity, I love this idea, because the idea of doing something to kind of push that positivity towards us, it's really important, because like I said, we don't necessarily always do that just on our own. So if we have something to focus on, if we have a positive thing that we're trying to do, that really can be beneficial for couples. So I really love that, because it is much easier to think about the negative. And also too, I mean, too much focus on the negative, I mean, resentments are a killer for relationships. And as we kind of hold on to things and let them build, you know, it just kind of fosters that negative, you know, feeling in the relationship. And so, yeah, that's great. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. Another thing we're going to do is something that I think that as we get older, Ryan, that we forget to do in our relationships. I don't know how old you are, and I don't know how many years you've been married, Ryan, but we start out and we're going through school, we're raising our kids, and it just seems like we always have goals. And the older we get, sometimes we forget how important to set goals as couples. And that's something that my husband, every quarter we sit down and we have financial goals, we have spiritual goals, we have emotional goals. And that's a time when if I want to work on something in our relationship or whatever, it's just something we've always done. And it has paid big dividends, I think, in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I think goal setting is huge. What's your take on that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't probably do it in my marriage like that, but I mean, I think that that's a great thing. And not that I, you know, I mean, I have my flaws as well. I mean, I've been married 23 years, you know, and so, I mean, I've definitely been in my marriage for a long time, and we've, you know, I think the biggest thing for us, is that, you know, maybe if we don't sit down and write out goals, I always feel like that we have a goal in mind, right? We have something to be working towards. We have, you know, a commonality. And I think some people need that. They need to kind of like have that focus, or like sit down and write a goal. But I think too, and maybe it's just from what I do or whatever, I think maybe we just kind of communicate that on the fly a little bit, but we do always kind of have like a common goal, something to work towards, something to improve on, or something to better ourselves with. So I think that that's great, because it, like I said, it's something that we don't always think about, but it's definitely something that I think brings us together, and having that commonality and something to work towards definitely is a value for us as couples, for sure.
Well, yeah. And I think that that's huge too. I think it's that you have something to work towards. And I think as a couple, you need to have that no matter what stage you're in life, something mm-hmm. to look forward to, something to be working together for.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of times when we talk about divorce, and my friends that have gone through divorces, they've all said the same thing. It's kind of like they lost that. They just started going in their opposite directions. And I think when we have a goal and we're working together, that helps us stay together to a certain degree. Not that it's, you know, you're never going to get a divorce if you have the same goals, because that's not true. But I do think it does help.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Because, yeah, like there are always, again, is the exceptions and people that still might find their way to a divorce in spite of whatever. But at the same time, though, I think if you are, you know, focused on that, and again, constantly communicating about those things and being able to bring those into focus, I think it's a lot harder to like lose your way, but yeah, it can still happen, I guess. So, but.
And then one of the other activities that we're trying to teach people in this year of putting positivity back in your marriage is how to flirt. I still think flirting, I've been married, like I told you, for 28, almost 29 years, and I still flirt with my husband, and he loves it, and I love it, and it's fun. And I think there's a lot of people that have, my friends and things have come to me, and they're like, you guys act like you're 16. But Ryan, isn't that fun to act like we're 16? You know what I mean? We love to hold hands. You know, he loves to poke me in the side. We started this thing. Somebody told us once that they were an older couple and they would be holding hands. And she goes, I'd squeeze his hand and I'd be like, I love you with squeezes. And he would squeeze back, how much? And she goes,
all right, sorry, we had some internet issues there. So I just put it on pause, but now we're back. So we're talking about flirting. So if you can just pick up where you were, Janice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking about the importance of flirting in our relationships. No matter how many years we've been married, I have friends who have told me, you guys hold hands, you know, you're poking each other's side, you're doing all this stuff, like 16-year-olds, and they think it's cute, but it's fun. I send my husband cute little flirty texts and all these things, and he loves it. I was telling a story that when we were very first married, we had an older couple come to us, and they were telling us that they had done this all their marriage, that they would be holding hands. And she goes, I will squeeze it 3 times. I love you. And he squeezes back twice and says, how much? And she goes, and I just squeeze his hand as tight as I can. We have taken that in to our marriage and we do it all the time, randomly. We could be driving in a car, we could be in a movie, it doesn't matter. But Brian knows when I do it, his response back, and I'm gonna squeeze as hard as I can. And it's just a cute little thing that we have. And I think those little things in marriage is huge.
Yeah,
I love that. And I think that we have to be able to flirt back with our spouse. I ran across a funny question the other day and I'm like, I wonder how my husband will respond. So I sent him this question. And I was like, the question was, if we had a mating call, what would it look like? And I'm like, okay, I wonder what he's going to do. And he's at work, he's working in the ER. And all of a sudden I get this picture of these two lions prowling around one another. And he goes, ha ha, that's us. And I'm like, okay, that's cute. And he came home and he thought it was great. And I mean, it's just the little things that I think, Ryan, that really, that's what I'm trying to do here. It is the little things that we do in life that make the biggest difference in our relationships. It's keeping it fresh, keeping it positive, keeping it going in a world that's hard. I think that if you are married and you're wanting to make it a long time in your marriage, one, it has to be a priority. And two, you have to keep it fresh. You can't just think, oh, my happily ever after, I don't have to put any work into it, because that's not reality. It really isn't.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this offhand, but our common friend that connected us, Lacey, she was going through one of the things that you gave her, like one of the games. I don't know if it was like one of the more racier ones, but it was talking about something about like, imagine that you're back in high school or something.
Yes.
What's that one again?
That one's called the 12 Days of Flirty Foreplay. And what you do is, it is every day you're going to leave a card for your partner. And it could be you send them an affirmation. You're going to give them a passionate kiss that day. But that one in particular is you jump in your car and you make out like you're in high school.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Cause I that's what I thought it was. But when they asked the question, cause my wife was in, we were sitting around talking about it. And I think they said something to me, like, well, I thought the question was like, well, what would you do if you were in high school or whatever? And I was like, and at first I was like, well, what do you mean? I thought they were, anyway, I answered the question. I was like, what do you mean? Like have sex multiple times a day or something?
In the car.
And they're like, you had sex multiple times a day in high school. I'm like, no, I didn't. I thought you were like talking about like, if I was acting like I was in high school or whatever. And they're like, no, the question is like to do stuff, whatever. And then they said the making out in the car thing or whatever. But the reason I bring that up is because I think like what you were saying before, I think just trying to keep it fresh. And I think feeling like always feeling young, you know, like don't feel like you've hit a point in your life where that's not something that you can do. And so the idea of going and making out in your car or whatever it might be, I expressed my current, I'll just say fantasy to my wife during that conversation we were having. So she knows what it is. So I'm going to put her on the hook for that. So, cause there's a time frame involved with that. But I think just those things, you know, like having those things, being able to talk about them, being able to, you know, like I said, keep it fresh, not feel like we have to get old and, you know, and in our intimacy with one another, I think those are great. And, I think it's good. So it's good for us to feel that way and to feel that way towards our partner and have those experiences where we can feel young and in love and like we are, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you said that, because that is really what we're after, is to make it fun. And I think that if it isn't fun, then you're not going to enjoy it and you're not going to want to do it. And it's going to be more of a chore. Right. And that is not going to help anybody's marriage if it's a chore. And so I think if you are viewing it as a chore, and it's kind of like what we talked about, that's what it becomes then. But if we are trying to do new activities and new things to make it exciting, like going and making out in your car, sending a flirty text, whatever it takes to ignite those feelings of passion, mm-hmm. it's there. It's going to come, and it's going to be natural, and it's going to feel great, and you're going to laugh, and you're going to enjoy being with your spouse again.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. I think, and that's the thing too. I mean, it's really, like I said, it's just about maintaining that connection and feeling good around your spouse. You know, I would say, like, you know, a lot of times what happens is that, you know, we maybe some of that, you know, when we're in that infatuation stage, just all, you know, the love languages, everything is kind of in full force, you know, and as we go throughout our marriage, you know, some of that stuff obviously starts to fall off. And the sad thing is that we start to feel less good around our partner when we're around them. And, you know, because the negativities and those things kind of start to build up. But, you know, there's so much that we can do. There's so much that we can create. There's so much that, you know, the fun and enjoyment that we can have within our relationships as we get, you know, as we kind of go through them. But, you know, part of it's taking the time, part of it's getting creative. And I really like the idea too, that I mentioned before, about just being experimental and being curious and just, you know, trying to let yourself enjoy the opportunity of connecting with your spouse.
Well, and you brought up another point in your podcast that I loved, that I'm actually going to use with some of my friends. And you said, it's about putting the P back in partnership. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, and this is for either the wife or the husband in a marriage, it becomes almost like a selfish thing where it becomes about me, and mm-hmm. it can't be. And I love the word that you used there a minute ago when you said create, because it is about creating that partnership. It is about putting that P back in. It is about thinking about somebody other than yourself. And it's about the dynamics of that being the very sound union, complete partnership that can move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, all of this has been great. I think that the people that are listening, hopefully will get some ideas. They'll feel motivated to be more connected, that they'll want to look up your products. Can you guide them to how to get to that, or what's the best way?
Absolutely.
To get, yeah.
We are on Instagram. We're inspiring.intimacy on Instagram, or we have a website. It is inspiringintimacygames.com. And awesome. We have a lot of fun and exciting products that are in the mix right now and at the printer. So we're going to be coming out with even more products.
More so. Cool.
Yeah. Well,
I've enjoyed looking at the ones that you have, and I think they're a nice way to build that connection and to find ways to, again, be more just have more fun and enjoyment with our partner, and, you know, create an environment for greater connection and intimacy. So it's great. It's been great having you on, and I appreciate your work and obviously a way to kind of bring couples together. And it's just, it's a great thing. So we need that. And I think there's a lot of couples that will benefit from what you're doing.
Hey, thanks, Ryan, for having me as a guest.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
At this time, I'd just like to thank again my guest, Janice Loveridge, for coming in and talking about intimacy and connection in our relationships. Also introducing some of the products that she has for doing that and helping us along the way. So make sure to check out her Instagram as well as her website. So and I will list those things in the show notes as well. Again, just want to reiterate the importance of intimacy in our relationships and staying connected. Some of the things we talked about were very important as far as just keeping that in the forefront, setting goals, making sure that we're putting our needs of our intimacy, you know, as a priority. being curious, being experimental, getting outside our comfort zone, doing things that are going to help us build that connection, talking about intimacy, talking about sex, breaking down those negative beliefs that we have or that maybe we have in regards to sex, so that we can build a great connection with one another. Some good things today. And again, as we kind of head into the new year and think about things that we can focus on, you know, building our intimate relationships and moving towards that is a great one to start with. And I hope today's episode will bring you that. And again, this is the Vegas Therapist signing off. Until next time, have a good one.